Good day to you. As I record this today, I have a little helper in my office right now. So if you hear a little voice in the background, it's my youngest daughter hanging out with me for a few minutes today. Here are my three things in Isaiah chapter 30. Number one, as we begin this chapter, again, a split statement of woe to a rebellious people. Think back in history, the Lord freed Israel's children from slavery in Egypt. And he adopted them as his children, but the children are rebellious, he says. They don't care about his word, and they don't seek his protection in the face of imminent destruction at the hands of the Assyrians. They believe an alliance with Egypt will rescue them. So as a result, they sin more and more because they devise plans and make decisions, but not by my spirit, the Lord says. So woe to those who go down to Egypt without consulting me. They seek Pharaoh's protection and they take refuge in the shade of Egypt, but their refuge can give them no protection. It will be to their shame and their downfall. And when Assyria, their vanity, the vanity of their hope for assistance from Egypt will be made clear. Verse 5 says, they will be all humiliated because of a people that is useless to them. They can neither help nor provide any benefit. They bring only shame and reproach. When Jerusalem was close to being captured by the Assyrian army in 701, King Sennacherib sent a message to King Hezekiah saying a lot the same regarding trusting Egypt. It happened just as both Isaiah and Sennacherib had said, but only Isaiah proclaimed the true help to which Sennacherib was blind to see. And yet, number two, the consequence of the people's false belief and sinful behavior is serious. The prophet compares it to a crack in a high wall, a crack that spreads downward and grows bigger and bigger until suddenly the whole wall collapses. Verse 13, the wall is crushed like a clay pot so completely that not even the fragments can be salvaged for anything useful. Like scrape coals from the hearth or scoop water out of a well. Verse 14. And yet, number three, God is faithful. What is the solution to the people's grave situation with the Assyrians' approach? It's the Lord. The Lord is their rescue. In quiet expectation, he says, put your faith in his promises. Human efforts with the help of human alliances cannot rescue you. And so he encourages them to turn from their reliance on Egypt and other powers that cannot help. But you refused, he said. You said, no, we will flee on horseback. Yes, indeed, you will flee. You said, we will ride away. Yes, indeed, you will be pursued swiftly. And yet, he says in verse 16 there, and yet he wants to save Jerusalem and rebellious and sinful inhabitants with it. And imminent destruction and offer them true salvation, forgiveness, and eternal blessedness. When you look at the very end of the chapter, we see that. That receiving God's teaching and trusting the Lord always brings blessing with it. Not always visible, but it can be. When Isaiah prophesies, among other things, that the farmer's field will be a plentiful harvest, and the cattle will graze in wide pastures, verse 23 and 24, it could be referring to visible blessings that believers get to experience from time to time, but it can also be a picture of the spiritual blessings that come with faith in the Lord. And that eventually, the very last verse of the chapter, the injuries and wounds of God's enemies, the devil, sin, unbelief, the world around us, inflicted on God's children will be gone. As he says, the Lord will bind up the wounds of his people and heal the injuries he inflicted. So those are my three things, Isaiah chapter 30. May God bless you the rest of the day.